The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio right here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You, and I'm your host, Rebecca Miller. And my co-host today is David Linden.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you today, David?
I'm here.
You're here. We're so glad you're here. David is a Project Independence member from the Roslyn region. I would say an original member, maybe going back a decade now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. A long time.
So we really appreciate you being here and all your support. And David's on a lot of different committees and helps out with the newsletter and, of course, the radio show. And you're pretty active with the Romeos,
yes,
which maybe we'll talk about a little bit later. We'll let our guest Ellie know what that is in a few minutes.
I am intrigued.
Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who want to remain in their own home as they age. Our services include transportation for food shopping and medical visits, help at home with minor home maintenance, nursing and social work services, fitness classes, community education, information and referral, and if there's something we don't provide with Project Independence, we will do our best to connect you. Our services and programs are at no cost. However, there is a small charge for the taxi transportation only for the medical visits. Food shopping is free. So we have a lot of great programs, and one of the best programs we have, Christina over there, is the Project Independence and You radio show, which is what this is. Today's show is going to be a very special one, as always. Our first guest is Ellie Moskowitz, and you are an optician right here in the town of North Hempstead. So welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. This is an honor.
Oh, it's great to have you, and we love to have people who, provide services and business to our residents of North Hempstead. So it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Ellie actually has two careers, so we're going to get into, I guess, his optician business and career in the first segment, and then after that, we'll talk a little bit about he's a musician, is a guitar player in the Rolling Stones cover band Street Fighter right here on Long Island. I've seen them, and they are rocking, David.
Thank you.
So,
is that rocks being thrown at them, or is rock?
I've never seen that happen.
Okay, I just want to clarify rocking.
After Ellie, we're going to have Martha Cohen, who is also a Project Independence member and a very active senior resident of the town, and she does provide programs for Project Independence residents right here in the town, and we're looking forward to that. And then following Martha, as always, we have our old-time radio segment where we'll be listening to the Inner Sanctum, the colorblind formula. Interesting. That first aired December of 1944, and then we will wrap up with Talk of the Town with Christina Liu. Christina is Project Independence and You's radio show producer, and she is also the Senior Citizen Program Development Specialist for the Town of North Hempstead Department of Services for the Aging. Usually after I say her title, we have to break because it's the longest title you've ever heard. Christina is key for the Project Independence radio show, obviously, and also for the Department of Services for the Aging, and we'll be talking with Christina later. But right now, let's talk to Ellie. Ellie, welcome again. Like I was saying, it's always great to have a guest that is a provider of services right here in North Hempstead. And you have a practice that is in the Albertson area. And I know you were up in Port Washington for a long time as well.
Yes, I was in Port Washington for 29 or 30 years, from like 1985 until 2014.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
You knew Herman then.
Of course. Herman Kadams was the one that hired me.
So, yeah. I know. Go ahead.
The senior doctor started his practice in 1938, then got called into the service, where he got sick in basic training, And while he was recovering in the infirmary, he wandered around looking for something to do, and he found somebody who was doing the eye exams for the soldiers, for the enlisted men.
Huh.
And he felt that he could do a much better job. And he ended up doing that. And then this sergeant who was there took a liking to it and was fascinated by what he was doing and said, hey, can you teach me how to do that? And he said, sure. And he tutored him in math. And eventually that sergeant became an optometrist himself. And lo and behold, when it came time for the son to do something with his life after graduating with a rather useless degree somewhere else, he called in a favor to Sergeant Al Rosenblum, who became the president of the Chicago School of Optometry.
Oh.
And he got his son into optometry school, and the rest was history. And he joined his father in the practice. And then that was in 82, I think. And then in 85, I hopped aboard.
You joined in. So obviously we are a senior initiative. So I'm curious as to your following. Do you tend to have more seniors coming to your practice or?
I am now?
Yeah, where you are now.
I bought the practice from somebody who had purchased it in 89. And he was catering to some of the more older folks in the neighborhood in the Roslyn area, Roslyn, Albertson, Mineola, East Williston, Williston Park.
One of the things that I'm old enough to remember, when eyeglasses were essentially all the same. They were metal, round, and that was it. And now, take your pick.
Yeah, well, that is some of the good and bad in the industry. Once upon a time, you basically had a roundish frame, such as the one you're wearing, if you out there in radio land can visualize that. And, you know, it would be in gold or silver similar in plastic, tortoiseshell. And it was basically at that point, it was a medical necessity.
Wearing eyeglasses.
It was considered a medical necessity, and it wasn't about style in those days. It was very basic. Then in the, there's a little interesting piece of eyeglass trivia for all you nerds out there. Shari Lewis.
Oh,
remember the puppeteer with Lamb
Chop?
Yes.
The first designer frame ever was created by Shari Lewis.
Really?
In the probably late 70s.
I knew I liked her.
Yeah. And then I guess what became interesting is that, interesting in the ironic sense, actually, is that in the late 70s, early 80s, where designer clothing became the thing, like Jordache jeans, stuff like that. Then all of a sudden, people started hopping on the bandwagon with eyeglass frames as well. And all these designer names, Prada, Giorgio Armani, Calvin Klein, these frame companies, Givenchy, Pierre Cardin, etc. The frame companies hopped on the bandwagon and started licensing these designer names to put on frames, which was really, for lack of a better term, a scam. Because the designers didn't design the frames. The frame companies designed the frames. They just licensed the names. But the general public who, for whatever their reason, wishes to be associated with these designer items, purchases frames based on names a lot of times. It's a little weird, but such as it is.
So I guess that also had a huge impact on lenses and shaping lenses, because you went from kind of having a standard type frame to, you know, it seems like the frames were, the cuts of the frames were the, to make people look more fashionable, you know.
The shape of the frames.
To the shape of the lenses having to change to kind of fit into these designer eyeglass frames.
Well, yeah, it didn't make it any harder. The practice and profession of opticianry, besides creating the actual curves on the lenses that create the prescription, bending the light to focus, etc. They were more craftsmen, and they would shape the lenses to fit the different frames. I mean, that was part and parcel of what the optician's role was. There was a skill involved. Nowadays, with technology, the edging equipment, which is the equipment used to shape the lenses to fit them into the frames, has become so sophisticated that virtually anybody could do it. The skill set involved is not necessary anymore. And it changed the industry in many ways. Too short a segment to go into that. That would be a whole other topic.
One comment that I just remembered about glass is becoming fashionable. Many, 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 many years ago, it was Dorothy Parker who quipped, "Men don't make passes at girls who wear glasses." That's changed.
And I will tell you something else. The Kate Spade line of designer frames that Rebecca happens to be wearing on her lovely face right now, on the inside of some of the earpieces, they actually have that phrase written, but it's men make passes at girls who wear glasses.
That's God. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm full of trivia.
Very interesting. I'm just curious, too. We talked a little bit about prisms and the way that, I guess, light reflects the lenses. Can you talk a little bit about how a lens actually is created for someone's, you know, for an individual prescription?
Sure.
You know, someone gives you their prescription,
mm-hmm.
and you then have to create magically this lens to kind of allow this person to see. And there's so many different types. You have progressive lenses today and bifocals. And
right. Well, the simplest lens, which people probably wear most, is a reading glass lens, which is called a convex lens. If you can imagine a lentil bean or a magnifying glass, so one of those Sherlock Holmes handheld magnifying glasses, if you take a cross-sectional view of the lens is thin around the perimeter and thick in the center portion. The concept of a lens, the word lens comes from lentil bean. It's lenticular shaped. A lentil bean is a lenticular shape, shaped like a lens. So, that being said, if anybody out there in rock and roll land is familiar with the Pink Floyd album, Dark Side of the Moon.
We all are.
Yeah. On the cover of the album, you see a prism, which is a triangular in cross-section, wedge-shaped piece of glass. And as white light enters the prism, parallel to the base of the prism, the pointy end of the prism is called the apex. The bottom of the prism is called the base. As it travels into the prism from air, the prism, which is, say, made out of glass, which is denser than the air, starts to deflect the white light, because white light is composed of different wavelengths of light. Shorter wavelengths travel faster and remain less deflected. The longer wavelengths travel slower and become more deflected. As they travel through the prism, which has different thicknesses, the thicker portion of the lens will deflect the light more. So if you can imagine, the prism gets deflected, the light rather, gets deflected towards the base of the prism. Again, keeping the Pink Floyd album cover in mind. Now, a lenticular or a magnifying lens is basically two prisms with their bases touching, the middle portion of the lens being thicker and the top and bottom of the lens being thin. So they're going into as they get deflected towards the respective bases, they come to a focal point. And that is the optical principle of how a lens bends light. It's a concentric prism.
Wow. So that was pretty interesting in a nutshell, or a bean shell, but I don't think there's a lentil shell.
Lentil shell.
We're going to be back in a few seconds. This is Project Independence and You, and we've been talking with Ellie Moskowitz, optician, musician, and David Linden, Project Independence member, an original. We'll be right back.